Hey, I believe we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Amen? We have a lot of reasons to celebrate that today. Of course, I think some of the things that make this nation great are the fact we have vast resources. We have a land of incredible beauty. We have a powerful industry in our land today, great wealth. We have a government structure that has a balance of power to it. And we have a very powerful military. All of those are reasons to be grateful for the land that we live in today. Amen? Amen. As great as those are, they all pale in comparison to the one thing that I believe makes this nation the greatest nation. It's the fact that this nation was founded upon the principles of the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've studied history and you know the truth, you know this to be a fact. Its history and its people are not perfect, but its purpose was committed to the Lord in its founding days. And I believe what you commit to God, He will see it through. And He has been faithful over the decades and generations to prove Himself to be faithful. At the times that our land has drifted off into immorality, into selfishness, God has been faithful to call the nation back to Himself. If you look back over our history, you'll find that at the times when the nation was at its darkest, God began to move. Even as early as 1740, when the first great awakening happened, God was moving, and the result was that our founding fathers would then cry out for a spirit of independence, and they would write the documents that would become what shape our land. They were formed out of a revival that came in our land, the first great awakening. The second great awakening happening in the 1800s, God again began to move in our country. As a result of that move, our nation saw the end of slavery, women gaining the right to vote, education reform, and a complete shift in the public opinion regarding things that are sacred. There have been other periods of revival in our land as well. You move forward to the 1960s and you have the Jesus movement, with a young generation crying out for fresh expressions of following Jesus, and the nation began to change. You have the Billy Graham crusade era that brought change into our country as well. And every time there had been a slide toward great immorality, God would intervene with His Spirit and move and rise up a new generation that would call upon Him. And as a result, in each of those, there would be a greater hunger for holiness, greater repentance, brokenness, deeper prayer and worship, and a return to Christ. Today you might think, oh God, please let that happen again. Please move in our land once again. I'm here to tell you today that though you may not have heard it, though you might not have seen it on major news networks, God is at work in our land today. And He is moving in one of the places that many Christians would have thought is the last place that God would move. What is that place? It is the college campuses across our land. God is moving in power in those places. You might not see it on public media, but if you do some research, you'll find some startling and overwhelming numbers and results of what God is doing on college campuses. I just want to give you some of those this morning. Over the last year and a half, these universities have seen countless students gather and seek the Lord. For example, the University of Arkansas, 10,000 students gather for worship and prayer. Auburn University, 5,000 students attend an event and there are 200 baptisms that follow. Florida State University, 4,500 students, resulting in 350 baptisms. Texas A&M, 10,000 students gather to seek the Lord. SMU, 3,000 students gather. University of Kentucky, 8,000 students. University of Alabama, 6,000 students with 350 baptisms. Ohio State University, 6,500 students and 1,500 baptisms. Yeah. University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, 6,600 students. University of Tennessee, 8,000 students. Mississippi State, 6,000 students. University of Florida, 1,000 students commit their lives to follow Jesus Christ. And at this past January, at the Passion Conference, over 50,000 college-age students gather at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for worship, confession, prayer and repentance and seek the Lord. God is moving in our land and God is moving in Gen Z. Amen? Woo. I'm encouraged by all of that. That is the direct result of the church crying out to God for a move in this land. And we must attribute that to him, his hand moving. And as much as we've seen God move in our land today, I believe he's also moved in churches across our land. We hear reports of it, and we see it right here in Vertical Church, Ovilla. We have people whose lives are being radically transformed. We have stories of one individual in a family turning to the Lord, and as a result, another, and then another, and then another. Someone else just told me this morning, I won't give away all their story yet. I'm not even gonna tell you names yet, because when the story happens here, you're gonna just give all glory to God. But it's a dad who turned to the Lord, who resulted in his mom and dad coming back to the Lord, who resulted in a grandmother coming back to the Lord, who resulted in a daughter coming to the Lord, who resulted in other members of the family all coming to the Lord, coming back to the Lord, all because one chose to follow what God was putting on his heart and seek him. That stuff is happening here. Lives are being transformed. Strongholds are being broken. Habits being changed in people's lives. People seeking the Lord. People opening their Bible to see what it says. I love it when people bring their Bible into a service. You've never heard me fuss at you for not bringing a Bible. Amen? Hello, right? You never heard me say, you better bring your Bible. But boy, if you look around, you're going to see people open their Bibles here in just a little bit and say, I want to see what this word from God says. God is moving here. Our Bible study classes are growing in attendance. We're seeing people come to the Lord. God is moving here. And what that shows me is that the Spirit of God is opening a window and his wind is blowing in our day. Amen? When you see revival, it's not just because someone had an emotional experience. It's not because someone guilted or manipulated someone. It's an indicator that the Spirit of God himself is moving. And when he moves, lives are changed. He comes in like a wind and he blows and people begin to be changed. And what I know about the Spirit moving, what I know about his power, what I know about what the Bible says about who the Spirit is that when he moves, it means a window of time is opening. And when he moves, it's time for all of us to move to him, rush to him, move in concert with him. Because those windows open, and the Spirit looks for who will respond. And then if no one responds, that window closes. Lord, help us to never be a church, to never be a people who hear the Spirit move and see the Spirit moving in others. And we just step back and analyze it, think about it, talk down about it, dismiss it, and move on with our lives. Because if you dismiss it, if you deny it, if you downplay it, I cannot guarantee you that that window will remain open for you to continually experience his purpose and his power. Because the Spirit of God moves like that. Today, our service, our message is called, It's Time for Us to Fan the Flame of the Spirit. It's essential for us. Today, we're going to look at what the Bible says about how the Spirit moves and how we are to respond to him. The Spirit is a him, it's not an it. The Spirit's referred to as the Holy Ghost, but there's no such thing as ghost. There is a Spirit, and God is the third person of the Trinity as the Spirit. He moves by his power, and he moves with sensitivity, and he's looking for those who will hear him, who will move in concert with him, and on them, he will pour out his blessing. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. This is the time in the Bible where the Holy Spirit is given to the church. The Holy Spirit had moved at times prior to this in people's lives, on them for occasions. But here, after the death, resurrection of Jesus, and his ascension back into heaven, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be given to the church. And here in Acts chapter 2, it happens. And the way we see him move here shows us how he moves even today. Lessons for us to know. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, Jesus had told them to gather. Jesus had told them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And here they are gathered as the followers of Jesus. And I love the fact that it says they were gathered in one accord. Now, there's a cheesy old preacher joke that goes like this. Do you know what kind of car the disciples drove? No, they drove a Honda. Really, how do you know? Because the Bible says they were all in one accord. It's lame, I told you. It's cheesy and lame. All right, wow. That's better than I got in the first service. That's awesome. I only said that just so you remember one accord. Because here's the point. The disciples had gathered and they were all together. One heart, one mind, one purpose to walk in obedience to Jesus and to receive what he had next for them. So they were gathered in one accord in one place. It's powerful. This is what the Spirit loves to do, is to move in places where there is one accord in one place. It's what he does in churches. When there is a spirit of unity and love, when there's a spirit of everyone seeking the Lord, the Spirit moves into churches like that and begins to work powerfully. You know this because you've been in those churches and you are in one of those churches, amen? Amen. Spirit moves. But you probably have been in a church also where there was some dissension, where there was infighting, where there was conflict. And you know, in that place, the Spirit of God had done left the building, right? Because he will not show up in a place where there is not a spirit of one accord. Now, this is true in a church, this is true in a family, and this is true individually. When you and I are operating in one accord, where every part of me is submitted to the Lord, then the Spirit of God moves in me. But if I've got places in my life that I say, well, I'm not gonna let Jesus into that room, that part of my life, that habit, that activity, then you are not functioning as a whole. You are functioning as compartmentalized units, and where there is not a one accord, the Spirit will not move in one power. Are you with me? This is how the Spirit of God shows up. This is true for individuals, families, churches, and even nations. The Bible goes on in verse 2 and it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So here they are gathered, and this word here just stands out to me. Suddenly, suddenly. Like they weren't really expecting how it was gonna happen. They knew it would happen. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would be given. But what they didn't know was exactly how it would happen and what it would look like. And so here they are gathered at the promise and word of Jesus. And the Spirit suddenly shows up. Suddenly, you and I have gathered this morning at the promise of Jesus. Amen? We're gathered in obedience to Jesus. We're gathered because we also want to see the Spirit move in our life. And when a people are gathered like that and they're willing to seek the Lord and be responsive to him, when they do, and they're worshiping him and their hearts are directed toward him, suddenly the Spirit will show up. He'll show up in ways that you didn't expect, hadn't planned for. He'll speak in your life, and suddenly you'll know what you need to do next. Suddenly you'll get the encouragement you've been waiting for. Suddenly that prayer request you've had for so many years will be answered. Suddenly God will move in a room, because this is how the Spirit functions. But I love also the fact that it came in like a rushing, mighty wind. Not a gentle breeze like that box fan you've got sitting beside your bed at night. Hello, am I the only guy in the room that has a box fan? I am, okay, thank you. Two, three, four of us, okay, great. Weird, I know. That's not what this is talking about. This is a powerful, knock you down, loud, boisterous wind blows into the room. And when that happens, God shows up in that spot. And it comes in a way that everybody knows. Everybody is aware something's going on here. there was a rushing and a mighty wind, something so violent that it was used in the New Testament to describe someone who was on a ship and the wind came and it blew them overboard. When the Spirit of God moves into a place, he comes in sometimes powerfully. He comes in to move us, shake us, take us from where we've been to a new place, to get us out of our old traditions and get us into a new step with the Spirit. Amen? Yeah. This is how the Spirit of God works. Verse 3. It says, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I love this. The Spirit comes in like a mighty rushing wind, and the demonstration that follows is that there is a fire in the room. And it comes in the form of a flame that lands on each person in the room. What an unusual thing. This is how the Spirit moves. Wind and then a fire. He blows in and then he sets hearts on fire. He blows in and you get all of a sudden new motivation within you. He moves in and all of a sudden he's purging out old sin. There's a flame that is ignited when the Spirit of God moves in a place. Amen? I love the fact that it says here that it sat on each of them. This mighty wind comes in and a flame is distributed in the room for every person. It wasn't just for a select group. It wasn't just for one or two. It was for each person in the room. What that tells me is when the Spirit of God shows up in fire and in power, there's a flame for every name, for every person. He's wanting to move in our lives. It's the same today. No one in this room is outside the scope of God moving in your life today. In fact, when the Holy Spirit is in the room, and he is, his desire is to move in each one of our lives. He has set you up for this morning. He has brought you here today. He's designed your future. He has circumstances. He has blessings that he is shaping and moving so that you might step into the fullness of who you are in Jesus Christ and be filled with the Spirit. It's set on each of them. Now, it also says here it was divided tongues. Now, I think the next verse helps us with this. It says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word here is the word language for tongue. They were able to speak all of a sudden a language they had not known by the power of the Spirit. You see, two things are happening here. The Holy Spirit was given, and an end of an age was happening. God would no longer dwell in a brick and mortar temple. Now, the Spirit of God would dwell in temples of flesh. He would place himself into the hearts of those who followed and loved him, and they would become the new temple of the new generation, the generation we live in today. Amen? Yes. You, as a follower of Jesus, have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. He is alive in you. He birthed you. He calls you. He's leading you. He's speaking to you. That's happening right now. And what happened here is they were going out to no longer be only the people of God named by the Jews, but now God was moving through Gentiles, and all who put their faith and trust in him would become the voice pieces of God. And so these disciples, they are filled with the fire of God, and they go out from the place they gather and they begin to speak to people from other nations the gospel. They began to tell what God had done in tongues, in languages that they understood. You see, when you come to Christ, the Spirit fills you. And it is never just for your own personal benefit. It's never just for you to say, oh, I'm so glad I have the Spirit. I'm not gonna tell anybody. No, the Spirit has been placed in you that you might tell somebody in the language that he has given you to speak it to them. Now, I'm not saying that all of a sudden because you become a believer, you're gonna know how to speak Portuguese. That's not what I'm saying to you this morning. But here is what happens. I don't know, maybe people speak, mercy. Maybe people speak Portuguese in here. I don't. But look here. What happens is you have areas in your life where the Spirit of God has healed you. Amen? You have hurts. You have places that He has changed you, made you new, broken strongholds, and He puts a fire in you because you say, now, I've got to tell somebody what God has done for me. This is the gift of the Spirit in you, and now you speak that to others in a language that they can comprehend because they're sitting there in their pain. They're sitting there in their dysfunction, and they need to hear you speak what God has done in you so they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, my favorite part of this verse is really the part that I don't have in orange. It's perhaps the most significant part of the story, I think, apart from the Spirit being given, is the fact that they were learning a brand new way to follow God. Before, they had the law. Then they had Jesus. Now Jesus was ascended back to heaven, and the Spirit is given. And it says here that they received this gift of the Spirit, and they, at the end of the verse, it says, and they spoke, they began to speak with other tongues, here it is, as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, they were learning, okay, the Lord just spoke to me, and now I'm gonna speak what He has spoken to me. He moved in me, and now I'm gonna move at His direction. He told me something, and now I'm gonna say it. He called me to something, and now I'm going to do it. This was brand new for them. The Spirit moving in them, leading them. I don't have to go to a priest to ask, should I? I have the Spirit living in me and directing me, so I hear it and I move. This is where you and I live. You have the Spirit of God in you, and He speaks to you. And the danger of our day is that we, as 21st century logical, Googling, ChatGPT-ing people, is that we will sometimes hear God speak to us and we'll say, well, let me go check that out. Let me go study this. Let me go see what ChatGPT has to say about this. Let me take a few weeks and a few months to see what God might be saying to me. Let me ask my three friends. Let me go ask some other people. Let me go find out what's going on, and then I might move by the Spirit. Look, if you delay and dismiss and deny and analyze and scope it all out and ChatGPT it, you run the risk of that window just closing in your life, because you and I were meant to live with He speaks and we do. He moves and we move. He calls and we go. No gap between Him speaking and us moving. Don't be logic driven 21st century Americans who think, well, I need to analyze it first. Let me study it. Let me ask somebody about it. Let me see what has to happen here. Let me think of the positives and the negatives. Let me put this down in paper. Let me form a chart. Let me make a graph. Oh, you're done. Spirit done left the building at this point. So the question for us today is, well, how do we fan the flame? If He's moving today, if the window's open today, if He's moving here in our church, what do we do so that we make sure we don't miss Him? Five things today, and then we're gonna respond to the Spirit. The first thing is this. 1 Thessalonians tells us, do not quench the Spirit. I love the fact that the Bible uses this fire analogy or picture for us, because He came as a fire and we're told not to put out the fire. The word for quench is a word that means to extinguish a fire. And so when the fire shows up and it's small and you're not even sure what to do with it, well, the thing you do is you cherish it. You love it. You listen to it. And I'm gonna change my wording here. I'm not gonna use it. I'm gonna use Him, because the Spirit is not an it. The Spirit is a Him. And so you cherish it. When the Spirit speaks, you have such affection for Him that you listen to Him and you do what He says immediately. Jesus said that the Spirit would be like this. It would be like the wind blows where it wishes. and hear, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from. You can't tell where it goes. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. They hear the Spirit and they move by the Spirit. They hear him speak and they take action. They hear him say, I want you to pray for this person out loud. And they do it. They don't dismiss it. They don't deny it. They hear the Spirit say, I want you to share a word of encouragement with that person. But I don't know them. What are they going to think about? And I'm going to probably look awkward if I do that. Stop. Do what the Spirit told you to do. You act on it. If he spoke it, you do it. This is what you do. You cherish the flame, and this is how you fan it, by doing what it says, because you don't want to run the risk of doing what the book of Hebrews says, that the Spirit says. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. When you choose to not cherish him, and you choose to dismiss, let me think about it, let me analyze it, what you'll do is you will harden your heart and the flame will be extinguished. The window will close. The second thing that's true for us if we want to fan the flame is found in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Paul writes there and he says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I used to read this and think he was talking about this will be the result. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the result will be liberty. I think that's true, but I've just been challenged to see this verse a different way today and this week. The Spirit shows up where there is a place where people are seeking liberty. You know what liberty is? It's when you get to the place where you say, I'm tired of being held down. I'm tired of being held back. I'm tired of being weighed down. I'm tired of the difficulties. I'm tired of my own stubbornness. I'm tired of my own questioning. I'm tired of my insecurities. I'm tired of my own stubbornness. I'm tired of my arrogance. And when you get to that place, if you want to really fan the flame of the Spirit of God, if you want to see him move in your life, then you get to a place where you say, I'm going to tear some walls down. I cannot stand being in this spot any longer. I'm done with it. I'm done with living my life on my own. I'm done with trying to be my own Lord. I'm gonna tear every wall down. I don't care what people think. I don't care what someone says about me. I'm done with my stubbornness. I'm done with my pride. I'm done with running my own life. I'm done with all that. And I will chase after the Spirit. This is how you fan the flame. You wanna see him move in your life? Then you cherish it when it burns. You tear down walls so that you can hear more. And then the third thing is, also in this same passage, 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. He's going to explain the rest of us here in just a moment, but Paul references back to Moses in the Old Testament, a time when Moses had gone up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And the time he spent with God caused his face to physically glow. How about that, ladies? Get your morning glow on by spending time with the Lord. Amen. So Moses does that, but he notices as he comes down from the mountain that the glow starts to fade. And so Moses makes a veil, a mask to cover himself so that no one can see the glory fading. Ooh. Paul says here, we are not those who cover our faces and hide the reality of where we are. We are those who remove the veil and stand face to face with the Lord and with those that we love. Now, this is tough for 21st century Americans in the church today. Because boy, we like to put on a good face, don't we? We like to look presentable, respectable. We want to look dignified, like we got our act together. We don't want anyone to know what we got going on. But if you want to see the Spirit of God move in your life, then you've got to get to the place where you're willing to unveil where you are and seek the Lord and seek the help of other believers. I've seen it too many times in groups, even in church. I've seen it here at Vertical, that if you want to see the Spirit of God move, you got to get to a place where you're willing to be face to face with God, face to face with others. I've seen in our men's group on Wednesday mornings, We gather, we eat some good food, study the Bible, but what we see is God move periodically when a man says, hey, I need to talk about something. I need y'all to pray for me. When that happens, the Spirit of God begins to move. Another man says, I'm in the same spot. Another man says, well, let's pray right now. And they gather around that man. And all of a sudden, because he chose to be an open book, because he chose to take off his mask, God moves in that situation. And he sees the glory of God, and the entire room does. Yeah. It's happened here in our church. When people sit on this stage and tell their story of what God's doing in their life, the glory of God falls in this place. You know that, amen? Yeah. And if you wanna see God move, and you wanna fan the flame, you wanna see the window stay open, then you have to move with unveiled face. You have to be obsessed with it. God, I'm just obsessed with doing whatever I must to be face to face with you. I don't care if I look foolish. I don't care what it takes. If you're calling me to seek reconciliation with someone, I'll do it. If you're calling me to ask forgiveness of someone, I'll do it. If you're calling me to repent of a sin, I'll do it. You're calling me to be baptized, I'll do it. You're calling me to seek you, I'll do it. You're calling me to move to the altar and maybe even let somebody else see me in a place of vulnerability, I'll do it. If the Spirit moves, then you move with it. Are you with me? This is how you fan the flame. You're face to face. But the next part of verse 18 says this, that as a result, we're being transformed into the same image that we're looking into, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, God is in the process of changing you. He's in the process of transforming you. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Oh, that happened when you were born again. But you are entering a process of where you are continuing to change. And if you want to see the Spirit of God keep moving in your life, then you have to do the one thing that your flesh is going to resist. You have to be willing to change. You've got to be willing to do some things differently, to not be like you were. This is how you fan the flame. You make changes to your life that honor and glorify God. You choose intentionally. I don't care if you've been walking with the Lord 20 years, 40 years. I don't care if you're 70, 80, or 90. We are still in the process, as this verse says, of being transformed. Yes. That's ongoingly. Yep. You've heard me talk about it before. The worst place, the most frightening place for me personally and for our church is that we would still be the same that we are today, next month, or next year. God, I'm asking God to challenge me, change me. Change how I think, change how I pray, change how I relate, change how I see my life, change how I see him, because change is necessary if you want to see the Spirit of God show up. You have to be willing to be transformed. Now, you'll know the Greek word for this word transformed here. It's the same word that we get our word metamorphosis. And when you think of metamorphosis, you automatically, my guess is, think of caterpillars and butterflies, right? Yeah. Let me just tell you some things that are different from a caterpillar to a butterfly. It is a complete metamorphosis. You see, a caterpillar has a very simple and lowly body, but a butterfly, once it's gone through metamorphosis, has a very complex body, colorful body, and wings, something the caterpillar did not have. A caterpillar can only move slowly, but a butterfly can fly. A caterpillar has only a soft outer skin, but a butterfly has an exoskeleton that protects its inner organs. A caterpillar only eats leaves, but a butterfly has a complex digestive system that allows it to drink nectar. A caterpillar has its only defense of being camouflaged. A butterfly has the power of speed and flying. Caterpillar in its existence is limited to a very small leaf or plant, but a butterfly has his horizons expanded in the ability to roam and fly wherever he would like. A caterpillar has no ability to reproduce, but a butterfly has had his physical components changed and can reproduce after its kind. You see, God is wanting to do that kind of radical transformation in us. God help us that we don't stay caterpillars. That we change, that we look different, talk different, act different, go places that are different, meet with people that are different, have a purpose that's different, have a reason to exist that's different, worship in a different way than we did before, pray in a different way than we had before. We're growing up into the Lord and we're being changed. If you want to fan the flame, you've got to be willing to change. And if you don't, you run the risk of hardening your heart and the spirit, closing the window. There's a cry that comes from the book of Isaiah that defines the kind of desire we should have. It comes from Isaiah 64, verse 1. Isaiah cried out, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would tear them open, and that you would come down. God, that you would work, that you would show up, that you would change. This is the ultimate, I believe, in fanning the flame. It is a heart that is willing to cry out to God and say, God, I cannot go on unless you move. I cannot function unless you speak. My marriage has no hope if you don't move in it. My family is desperate for you. Our church wants to hear you. And God, we're so desperate that we're crying out, would you just tear open the heavens? Would you just come down? Would you move? And when you do, we're willing to do whatever you say. We're willing to move at your lead. We're willing to do what you say. We're willing to give what you ask. We're willing to reconcile where you say reconcile. We're willing to speak what you say speak. We're willing to move because your spirit is our life and your spirit is what drives us. I so want us to be individually people who fan the flame. I want us as a church to be filled with families that are fanning the flame. I want us to be a church as a whole that is continually fanning the flame. God, move in us. We're gonna sing here in just a moment, and what I would ask is this. Would you be sensitive to the Spirit of God today? Would you be willing to open your ears to hear Him? To set aside every other person in this room? To set aside whatever respectability that you thought you needed to maintain? And would you be willing to do what He calls you to do? I don't know what that's gonna be for you. It might be to reconcile with somebody in this room. It might be a moment you gotta get up and move to go talk to somebody. It might be to turn and speak a word of love or encouragement or hope to someone close to you. It might be to repent of a sin you've been a part of. It might be come to the altar and spend some time praying. It might be a move that says, I need to get baptized like someone did in our first service. It might be to trust the Lord for the very first time in your life. Whatever it is, would you begin the process of saying, God, I hear you. I don't understand how it's all gonna work out, but if you're telling me to move, I'll move. I'll obey. I'll move in step with your spirit. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you that you are here, you are speaking, you are moving, and you want us to move in step with you. You want us to move in concert with your heart. You want us to hear and respond. I pray we would be a people who do that. It's clear you're moving today. It's clear the window is open. It's clear the noise of the Spirit is happening in our land and here in this church. And may we see it continue because we're willing to move. We're willing to respond. So God, speak in this time. Move in our midst. We might see your power, your glory. Here today we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.